I would like to welcome, first off, Will Simpson to the program. Will, are you there?
I am. Thank you very much, Darren.
Thank you so much for joining us. So you've been with Green Circle Salons. You're on here on behalf of Mr. Price, who's the president of Salon Escapes. If I'm not wrong, sorry, is he the president of Green Circle or of Salon Escape?
Right, right. Shane is the president of Green Circle Salons. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
So we are the recycling company that caters to Salon Escape.
Okay, so we found out about Salon Escape, and you work with many companies. I'm just mentioning that one specifically because Leah actually was familiar with that salon, which is how we sort of got tipped off to what's going on. So if you want to just start off and just give people a little bit of a context for who you are and how you're coming at this, how did you end up working for Green Circle Salons?
Well, I think Green Circle Salons sort of started up as a response to what we saw as a need in the salon industry for more sustainable practice. The industry has gone highly unregulated, or in some cases, like in BC, it's actually been deregulated over the last couple decades. And what we found is that as a result of that, you never know what people are pouring down the drains or what they're throwing into their local landfill. So this company was started in 2009 with a very clear-cut goal of waste reduction, helping people to sort of go down a greener pathway, and ultimately to make the whole salon industry in Canada sustainable by 2020. So that's the goal that we set out to do. And you mentioned Salon Escape. They've been sort of a leader in championing this movement throughout Yorkville, where they're based out of, and also in turn sort of bringing attention to it nationwide as well.
Absolutely. So one of the things, we're going to get into some more specifics, and I'm going to ask you about exactly the bit about the hair clippings being used for oil spills in just a moment. But just to give sort of a generalized context first, we did an interview with Adria Vassal recently, who's the writer for Now Toronto and does all the Ecoholic stuff. We interviewed her about her book, Ecoholic Body. And one of the things we talked about there was about the cosmetics industry and body care industry and all the sort of dangerous chemicals that get largely unregulated put into those types of products. And she had in her book a wide range of alternatives for things like soaps and hand creams. But one of the things that I sort of associate when we're talking about hair is it's one of those things where you kind of, as far as I'm aware, it's really hard to avoid all sorts of chemicals. You've got peroxides and coloring agents and all sorts of things. Can you just, in a generalized sort of way, and talk about the hair industry in general, what sort of environmental / public, you know, health issues come up with the sorts of things that a normal salon would be using? And maybe you can give us some ideas about some of the ways that you've tried to avoid those things or make it more sustainable.
Sure, sure. So first of all, Adria Vassal, she's a great champion also of our cause. She's helped to get some of the salons in the area to participate in our movement as well. So that's great to hear that you've been speaking with her. What we found is that typically in order to enable the high performance of salon products like styling creams, dyes, that kind of thing, some really heavy chemicals are needed. Formaldehyde, VOCs, all of these things that are sort of typical everyday cosmetic agents are in a lot of the products that most salons are using. So we don't actually get involved in recommending products to salons. What we focus on is sort of the downstream impact and trying to manage that for salons. Now, having said that, there is sort of this movement towards ammonia-free products and organic products that salons are starting to bring into their salons. But our focus is sort of, again, working towards helping people to reduce their footprint regardless of what kinds of products they use.
And I'm just going to be jumping in here.
Sure.
Hi, Will. Hi. I was just going to be, because I've talked to you before that I have a hair background. So I was in the industry before. And one of the things that I definitely saw kind of going back to color is that there was a lot of wasting of color, and that can go down the drain. Now, you said that there's actually something that you do differently with hair color. Could you explain a little bit more about what happens? How do you collect the hair color, and what happens to the hair color that is would normally go down the drain?
Absolutely, Leah. Thanks. So typically, salons when they mix up the product and they use it, they're left with 1 to 2 ounces of chemical after every chemical or color service. So what we found was that this chemical is going, you know, down our drains and into our local waterways, and it comes back. And it's not completely filtered out, so eventually our kidneys become the filter for these really harsh chemicals. The other thing is that a lot of salons are throwing them into the garbage, and they basically end up going to our landfill and leaching into our soils that way. So the alternative that we've presented is a chemical waste diversion program. So basically we provide the materials for a salon to scoop all of that extra excess chemical into a bucket, and when we come to pick up their hair and their foils and color tubes and in many cases paper and plastic as well, we actually take away all of that chemical and it goes to a chemical waste treatment facility where it's then responsibly managed, so it's not ending up again in our waterways or in our soils.
Is there a cost to this? Is this something that is it expensive, inexpensive?
There's no cost for the chemical waste program in and of itself, but the way the whole program works, the entire waste diversion in salons, is there's basically a stewardship program that gets put into place where a small eco fee, it's less than the cost of a cup of coffee, is added to the final bill of each salon guest after their service. So if my mother were to go into a salon and pay, you know, $150 for cut, color, style, and eyebrow wax, any of those things, she would just get a very small fee that works out to about 1% of her final bill added, and that enables this opportunity across the industry.
And how successful have you found from a marketing point of view? I'm by no means a hair expert, but I know a little bit about marketing. How have you been able to, as far as convincing businesses to take this sort of thing on? You know, you're saying it's a very minimal cost, but it is a cost increase. And I know a lot of business owners tend to be a bit wary about that sort of thing if they're not already super interested in the environment. How do you go about convincing salons that this is something they should be participating in?
Well, that's a very good question, Darren. And I think that, you know, at this point, because it is something that does involve a cost, it's not necessarily going to work for the low-end salon. This is a premium service that premium salons get involved in because they understand. And what we found is that in this industry, it is very, you know, fashion-forward, and it's an industry all about trend-setting. So in that way, the industry leaders get on board, and we found that the people who follow them are typically the B and C salons. So, for example, in 2009, when this company started up, we started in Yorkville, and it was very much a premium service. And now we've been able to branch out, and we are now in Vancouver. We just launched on Vancouver Island as well, and this spring we're going to be launching in Quebec. So it is something that, you know, we've been able to branch out and make it more inclusive so that it is sort of an industry-wide solution. In the case of Salon Escape, which you mentioned earlier, Robert Barbosa, very well-known name in the industry. He's the artistic director there. And he's one of these guys who's a trendsetter, and he understood this is where the industry's headed. Again, it's been deregulated or unregulated, and it's not always going to be that way.
So just for context for our non-Toronto native listeners, that the Yorkville area is kind of like where all the fancy shops are and the Hilton Hotel and all that sort of thing. So generally, as you're saying, this is at this point anyways more of a premium product. But you seem to be alluding to the fact that the industry itself, as a fashion industry, as a trend-setting industry, is it your opinion that potentially this is an industry that might be more susceptible to arguments about stuff like environment because it's kind of seen as it's now increasingly being seen that the environment and from a business point of view is kind of like a sexy way to do it, is that it's hip and everything like that? Do you think it's easier to convince this sort of business to take environmental initiatives than, say, another industry?
That's a very good question, Darren. I think, green has definitely been in for the last few years, and I think that, there are always going to be those people who jump on board the bandwagon because it's a fad. But we by no means see this as a fad. We see this as, you know, the way this business needs to evolve. Ultimately, again, we want this whole industry to be sustainable by 2020. And like you said, there is a cost to be on this program. So for that reason, businesses can't be expected to do it on their own. We need salon guests to also enable this opportunity. And again, you know, if you're spending $1 or $1.50 at a salon to be getting involved in this, that action, you know, with the ripple effect of everyone being involved, actually creates a huge difference across the industry.
Okay, so we're almost running out of time here. We're running pretty close to the end, so I just want to make sure we get to actually what we, in theory, had you on to talk about, which was the thing that caught our eye in the first place, which was the idea about specifically the hair and how the hair gets recycled and used for oil spills. Can you just explain that process a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So, very interesting thing. Right now, you know, 90 to probably 99% of salons are throwing their hair in the garbage. And, you know, the sort of common perception is it's an organic material that's going to break down. But the reality is that in the conditions of a landfill, it's actually creating methane gas, which is adding to the greenhouse problem. I know before the break you were speaking about that with your previous guest as well. Greenhouse gas is a huge issue of our time. So our alternative is to take that hair, redirect it from the landfill, and actually repurpose it for a variety of different opportunities. So in 2010, after the big BP oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico, we got involved with a not-for-profit based out of California called Matter of Trust. And with their help and the help of Redken, we were actually able to send our guests' hair down to the BP oil spill, where volunteers on the site were actually making hair booms out of the hair and a nylon stocking. So then this was basically acting as a last line of defense along the shoreline to keep the oil from coming onto the shore. And I think the really interesting thing there is that, you know, we were talking about reliance on fossil fuels and this kind of thing. Right now, in the oil industry, the tradition is sort of to use synthetic oil booms, chemical dispersants, and that kind of thing to deal with these problems, where, you know, there's a very viable solution, and it's actually growing on our heads. It's a local renewable resource that can be used for all kinds of different purposes, and we just need to sort of create these smarter, healthier systems and put them into place so that we can actually capitalize on that.
Absolutely. Well, it sounds really cool. I'm afraid we've run out of time, though. I want to thank you very much, Will Simpson, for joining us, who's with Green Circle Salons. Just before we go, do you want to give people, if anyone's interested in contacting you to ask you more questions or interested in the salon or any of the initiatives, do you want to just direct them how to reach you and your company?
Sure. So we actually have a Green Salon directory. If you visit greencirclesalons.ca, what you can do is check out the local salons in your area that are participating in this movement. And again, it's something where you can actually go onto their site and get a reward for coming to the salon. So it could be 10% off your first salon visit. It could be a retail purchase, that kind of thing. And the idea is, again, choose green and reap the rewards for it.
Yeah, and you said you're connected with salons all across the country too. So it's not just if you're within reach of the Yorkville area then.
That's right. Yeah, right now we're in Ontario, BC, and again launching in Quebec this spring.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us, Will Simpson.
Thank you, Darren. Thank you, Leah.